Should have Terry on the phone. We've been like Terry Brown from Margate. Hello, Terry.
It certainly is, yeah.
How are you, sir?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Who am I speaking to, Dave or Keith?
We're speaking to Dave in a minute. Keith's here as well, so we're all here. Hello, and Spencer's Dave. Here from Harlow as well, so we're all his studios full tonight. So how's things going then down at Margate from your perspective?
Well, obviously not as swimmingly as I'd hoped. We were looking to try and win the championship as early as we can. That looks a pretty daunting task at the moment, but there are still 33 points to play for, and that's a heck of a lot of the season to go. So if I was to try and see where we are, I'm saying we've got to do better.
I mean, you've got this, of course, you've got the big game sort of looming at the end of the month. I mean, it's one of those things where you can't necessarily look at it this early on with it being a bit, you know, maybe a week, 2 weeks away. But it's going to be a huge game, isn't it? You and Maidstone?
It is, but it's only going to be huge if we can win the next two games. You know, we've got to start picking up points. And we're 13 points behind them at the moment. If we go into the game more than 13 points behind them, then is it going to be that relevant? We have to be breathing down their necks and making sure we put some pressure on them. We haven't done that the last week. We've had a disastrous week. Hendon have been winning for fun. Maidstone have been winning. And we've gone past the sort of dividing line of hoping other teams beat the opposition. We've got to start, you know, accruing points immediately, really, yeah.
Yeah, because looking at you know the results in recently, it's no winning four now in the actual, or one winning four, should we say, in the league.
Yeah, it's not championship form. You know, I'm not trying to dress that up in any manner. We've got to start winning games, and it's all right having three games in hand, but unless you're winning, that's of no value whatsoever. We've got to the point really where we've had an awful week, and we either bounce back with a couple of good performances prior to the Maidstone game, or then we're looking at the playoffs. And I don't want to be giving the title away with 33 points on the ball. That's plainly mad. There will be some ups and some downs in between, and my job is to make sure we put some pressure on Maidstone, and we haven't done that yet. We've got to start doing that.
Yeah, and you've got some tough games for the rest of March as well. I mean, Wingate and Finchley on Saturday. Hornchurch are fighting for their lives, then Maidstone, and then Met Police.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I said we've had an easy game this year. I think at the start of the season, we had a couple of fives where we were playing really well on beautiful carpet pitches. But anybody that knows the Ryman knows you're not going to play on carpet pitches for the whole year. We've adjusted, we've brought a little bit bigger, stronger players in, and that should stand us in good stead for the, you know, the Monday night at Billericay on a cold Essex night. But we've got to first start winning at home again, and we had a good home record. We've got to start really recapturing our early season form when we flew out the blocks and feared nobody. So we've got to show a lot more courage than we've shown over the last 10 games. And we've got to play without fear. We've got nothing to lose now because the last sort of 7 or 8 games we've been not good enough. So we need to attack more. We need to get back to the strengths that we had early season, and they were passing, attacking football, and that's what we've got to get down to.
Hello, Terry, it's Keith.
Hello, Keith.
Hello, mate. Terry, do you think that your, obviously, the last sort of form has got anything to do with losing your skipper?
Well, if I look at the way Charlie Allen started the season off, he was absolutely on fire. I think he scored, I don't know, 13 goals in about 16 games. I had Ryan Moss scoring goals for fun as well. And when you've got guarantee more or less 2 goals every game, to lose that revenue stream, so to speak, is going to hurt you. It's going to hurt any team. I've been given the resources at this club to go and recruit new players in to make up for losing Charlie Allen. But, you know, they're not that easy to find. Someone with his talent and ability to score goals is difficult to find. We have to find, as a manager, you have to find other ways of winning games. And I went and watched Hendon this week, and they looked tired, they looked leggy, and I thought in the Met Police game, Met Police played brilliant. But, and a big but, credit to Gary, he found a way, and Hendon found a way to win that game. Might not have been their flowing football that they were playing early in the season, but they found a way to win, and that's what we've got to do over the next 10 or 11 games. You know, we play, typical Ryman, we play Wingate and Finchley on Saturday, who are a good footballing side on a good footballing pitch. And I've got to play one way, and then we go to Billericay, who play
direct,
a very, very robust, attacking, direct manner. Now, I'm not saying there's a right way and a wrong way to play. The wrong way is a losing way, and the right way is a winning way. But on a pitch that's obviously not the best, you know, it's been called, loads of games have been called off on it. So you have to be able to mix and match your teams. And that's something I haven't really been very pleased with this season. I think we've been more than a match on anybody on a decent pitch. We sometimes haven't had the strength to see out games. Now, if we're going to challenge Maidstone, we've got to be big and strong at Maidstone. Maidstone are a very direct side. So I'm hoping that we've got a squad now capable of mix and matching the games.
Why do you think that has been the issue then, Terry? Is it because obviously some of the players you've got in your squad have sort of played at a lot higher level and they're not used to sort of some of the Ryman Prem sides? Or?
Well, you have to say, I mean, I've managed and got out of the Ryman League three times to date and hoping to get a four times out, but it's an incredibly hard league to get out. You have to go to Leeston on a Tuesday. You go to Bury on Billericay on a Monday night, and these are not comfortable places to go. These are not footballing arenas. These are some of the pitches we played on this year, and love them, no fault of their own, but Graves playing at Averley, and we went there after about three games and the pitch was bonard, bobbly, and you know, and you say, well, welcome to the Ryman League, that is what it's about. But you know, we've got players who have played at a high level, and I think the typical example of me ranting and raving was we go to Gillingham and play a Gillingham side that included, I don't know, seven first-team players, and I thought we played them off the pitch on a lovely pitch. But, you know, then we're back to down-to-earth with Hendon playing at Harrow. So it's something that hasn't improved in the years that I started management. When I first started for Hayes, what, 25 years ago, the pitches in the stadiums weren't very good. Now, I don't see a great deal of improvement as far as the pitches and the stadiums are, as far as that's concerned.
If we're talking about pitches, I've not been to Margate. How's yours? Because last year you had so many games called off that over there.
Yeah, this year we've had a couple of games called off where we've had exceptional rain on the Friday or the Saturday. And that's going to happen. Don't get me wrong, it's going to happen. But there are some pitches in our league where you think, you know, if you go to a game after three games, you go, you know, to be fair, if you go to Hornchurch and you go to Averley to play Grace, you can't play football in them pitches. So, yeah, it's all right for people to say, oh, well, that's what the Ryman is. I think the Ryman has to improve the playing surface. If it wants to keep touch with the leagues above it, and it wants to go on and develop, there should be more emphasis played on the playing surface. And whilst we're at it, teams in the Ryman and below, and possibly above, should definitely look at AstroTurf pitches. You know, I'm not saying Maidstone have had any advantage by having their AstroTurf pitch. I think they have got a pitch that works for them financially, gives them the revenue streams to push alongside their gates, I might add, push for promotion, and I think they'll go from strength to strength and do well next year as well. But that's got to be the role model for the smaller teams. You know, you talk to Ryman chairman and they say, oh, we don't want an AstroTurf. I think, why on earth wouldn't you want an AstroTurf pitch? You can train all your youth team on it. You can make money to finance the team on it, and you can then get your teams to play the sort of football that you aspire English football to attain. Not, you know, the best way to play here is to hack it as far up the park as you can and get as much height as you possibly can. You know, the Ryman needs to move on from that, and part of that would be the advent of real good AstroTurf pitches.
Well, as people say around the 3G pitches, of course we've got one here, but it's you look at the 3G pitches and a lot of people say, oh yeah, well, Maidstone and Harlow and of course now Whiteleaf have got the advantage because they play on these pitches. And as I've said millions of times on this show, and I'll say it again, you know, you've got to look at these three clubs and say, well, no, they're actually the clubs with a disadvantage because they might train on it, they might play 23 home games on it, but they've got to play 23 games on grass, where anybody that comes to play on the 3G surface, of course, has got 45 games on grass and one game on the 3G.
Yeah, that's a very valid argument. I haven't heard that before, but I do think it is perfectly valid. And, you know, what do we want to do? It's a bigger picture than the Ryman League and whether Margate get promoted or Maidstone get promoted. How do you want your kids to come through playing? Do you want them playing like, you know, Barcelona were last night, or do you want them playing, you know, Route 1 football? And you can coach, well, you know better than I do if you're down Arlo, you can coach boys to play passing football on flat surfaces. The amount of times as a non-league manager I've done a crossing and shooting exercise on Bobley training pitches or Bobley first team pitches, and you think, well, all I've done here is I've destroyed the confidence of my winger and I've destroyed the confidence of my front runner, and that was a total nightmare session. We need proper training facilities and we need proper playing surfaces. And instead of chairman whinging about the so-called advantages that AstroTurf teams have, they should look at it in a not just a wider picture, but what's best for their club. What's best for the small clubs in the Ryman League would be a playing surface you can utilise 24/7, get some revenue streams in, get good coaches in to coach properly, and then we could get away from Route 1 football, couldn't we?
I think you're right in that way, and I think a lot of teams have looked at Maidstone now and sort of modelled it on that. But for some of the smaller clubs, I think, you know, and there is funding, but to fund it is a big step for them as well. You know, even if you've got 50% of it, it's I know you can look long term, but I think, and I know for a fact, you know, a lot of clubs, a lot of chairmen would go, I'd love to have that revenue in. And, you know, we were lucky at Thames, we had the training facility on one pitch and a decent grass pitch on the other, so we could do that. But I think, you know, you're right exactly what you're saying for the youngsters and the way they should be coached. I think.
Yeah, but why should the chairman of a team, if you haven't got the resources to fund a proper playing surface, you shouldn't be in the league. If you continually turn up with pitches that are unplayable and pitches where you can't really see a good game, what's the point of that?
Yeah, but you look at teams in
let someone else take over. Let someone else.
But the teams in the conference and things like that. The things in the conference, sorry? And Terry, if you look at Halifax that have got a rugby team playing on their pitch. I know I spoke to Dartford last week that went up there. They couldn't even stand on it, even though play football on it. So I think it's not just the Ryman League, is it? I think it goes all the way up with teams. You could say being, you know, not greedy ground sharing somewhere else, but you know you are right. I do admit that I've been to some grounds. And you look at the pitch and go, how are you getting away with that? But
these are pitches at the start of the season.
Yeah, I know, I agree.
You know, you're thinking, we're talking about August and the pitch is nearly unplayable. And you're thinking, how can that be right? If you haven't the finances, then you have to play at the necessary level you're at. And that might sound rude and arrogant, but if we want English football to grow and develop, and I love the fact that our non-league is the envy of the world. I love the fact that, but we've got to understand that if you're coaching kids on training areas that are crap and pitches that are crap, you'll end up with crap players.
I mean, do I take it, Terry, that you may have had a word in the shell like of your chairman about getting a 3G surface?
Well, no, it's funny that, because there is an argument for us to get a 3G service. My chairman has got the finances, and that's not something we're boasting about. My chairman's got the finances to lay a lovely pitch, and that's what gets me with chairmen who go, oh, we'd much prefer a grass pitch. Well, so would I, and so would anybody that can give you a quality grass pitch. A quality grass pitch costs, I don't know, half of what an artificial pitch would cost. And what is artificial now? Anyway, you go to the Emirates and it's, what, 90% or no, 60% nylon in it and then turf in it. I go to Reading, which is my local club, and rugby's played on that, and they have implants. Wickham, they have nylon implants in with the thing. So technology will move on. We're not talking about the old QBR pitch anymore, are we? We're talking about nice playing surfaces. And, you know, to teach our kids, they've got to have flat surfaces.
There are a few smaller clubs in the Ryman Prem that have got decent surfaces as well, aren't there? And I 100% agree with what you're saying. I think some obviously make the pitch difficult for sides like yourself to come and play against. There's, you know, I know, and you'll back me up, that I keep saying local side, but VCD have mostly got one of the best pitches in the Ryman Prem, and they're a very small club, and they look after it, you know, and that's grass. And
VCD play
great
football.
Yeah, they do.
They play football, and the team we're playing, Wingate and Finchley, yep. Lovely pitch. They play nice football.
Yep.
The two, you know, if you're a rocket scientist, to work, the two things go hand in hand.
Yep.
If you're cultivating, like, a cabbage patch, then no doubt you'll play from back to front.
Yeah.
And what other way is there to play?
Well, I'm looking. You went to... when did you go to Witham? Did you go up to Witham around Christmas time? January, wasn't it?
Witham, yeah. Yeah, round about that time, yeah, and that was... I think we actually ruined the pitch that day, love them. They got the game on. They got the game on. Both managers wanted it. We got a very fortunate win on a bog heap. Mm. And obviously that hadn't done their pitch any good, love them. But they were, they tried to play football, to be honest.
Yeah.
I've yet to come across a manager that plays Route 1 football who doesn't claim to play football anyway. have you ever spoke to Route 1?
No.
Boys, and they'll deny it's not Route 1, it's direct. And like I said earlier, it is not we play football, so that's the way to play, that's a better way to play. It's like you have to play winning football. If you're a manager, you have to win leagues and you have to win games.
Well, teams have got to, if they look at, just say yourself, and they come up and, you know, they look at the players you've got, you know, if they went out and maybe opened up, would mostly get hammered. So their job as a manager is to make it as difficult for you as possible and get a result.
Yeah, you say that. We've played Enfield. Enfield, beautiful pitch at their place. Mm-hmm. They beat us 3-1, 2-1, something like that. At home, they battered us at home. Played much better football than us. And the manager had the courage to play and the desire to play in that manner. And they murdered us twice. So, you know, I'm not saying this just from, you know, we've beaten some sides that play direct football and lost to some footballing sides. Mm. We were fortunate at Wingate at their place. So it's never that black and white. It's if you choose to play football, you can play football. And that's a choice you make. And it's a choice the chairman makes and a choice the fans have to say, is this what we want to play like? See, managers will always justify the method of play by having to win, won't they? Like, in English football, it's like a terminal disease where they go, well, we have to play this way because it's the players we've got. Well, really? What? If you coach and educate your young players coming through, to play football. You can win leagues by playing football in the same way you can get relegated playing football. You know, if you look at the teams that go down, there'll be a percentage of teams that if VCD go down, they'll go down playing football. And if I don't like to name teams that go Route 1, but because they never think they do. If one of those teams goes down, then, you know, what will that tell you? It tells you that there's not a right and wrong way to play. It's totally about opinion, isn't it? I don't want to watch Route 1 boring football.
Do you think, in the knowledge I've said, I've watched quite a few conference games this year as well, Terry, and let's say it's a little bit more direct than, I'd even say, the Ryman Prem is.
Well, the thing about the Ryman Prem that makes it such a difficult league, I've just sort of run through...
One goes up is one of them, isn't it?
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the sides that play football, there's lots of sides. Hendon.
Yeah, Hendon good side.
Really good football. Mm-hmm. Dulwich play the best football in the league.
Yeah, Dulwich are a great side, yeah.
They're fantastic. We try and play football.
Bognor.
If I look at Bognor, they play fantastic football. If I look at Met Police, they play fantastic football. I look at, so it's a half and half mix. Mm. I bet it's more than half try and play football. Managers justify the way they want to play because it's a lot harder to play football. There's a lot more things to go wrong. If you get the ball down on the park, then you get people to take risks. You can either play non-risk football. It's not direct football, no risk football. If, you know, I could name you a dozen teams. I could name a dozen teams in League Two that play non-risk football. So don't ask the fullbacks to get it. Don't let the fullbacks go forward. Sit them in. Make sure they all defend properly as a unit. Midfield, basically, hook it on and support the forwards. It works. It works. You know, teams are playing in League One doing that.
Yeah.
It's just not what I choose to do.
Terry,
I'd argue my case and they'd argue theirs.
Just looking at your, obviously, running from now, do you think this could play a part? You've got 11 games. Your last 11 games is in basically nearly one calendar whole month. Especially in April, you've got 7 games to play in April. Do you think that could be a big ask for yourselves?
It will, but, you know, I've watched Hendon find ways to win games when their legs are going. And that's what they've done, and they've successfully done that. We've got to find ways. If I was Hendon and I had very limited resources and I was Gary, then I'd be saying that. I've got the most resources in my league. Every time I've asked my chairman for a play, he's given me it.
Yeah.
If we can't cope, and we've got 4 or 5 big injuries at the moment, but if we can't cope, that's down to me. There's no way that my chairman could have been any better with me. He's been absolute gem. And every time I've had an injury, you know, I've lost Charlie Allen. I've gone and got Ryan James as a replacement. So Hendon couldn't do that. I don't think Dulwich could do that. It's only us and Maidstone could do that. So
we're talking to Maidstone, Terry. So he's just dropped down on Twitter. He's just literally made a new signing tonight. Jake Pac-Man. From Whittam Town.
Yeah, I know,
that's
so
he's
that's
gone
a,
to Maidstone
well,
tonight.
Strange signing.
Well, it's something that possibly only us and Maidstone could do, to make signings this time of the year.
Mm.
If you look at it, the amount we've spent and the amount they've spent, Jay's probably gone to their chair and said, look, let's get us over the line here.
Yeah.
If you're just signing for the end of the month, which you've literally got 5 weeks, even if you're paying the boy £500 a week, that's it's a couple of grand, isn't it?
Yeah, so to get you over.
To get over that line, you can normally convince, if you're a decent manager, you can normally convince your chairman to swallow that one.
Terry, at the beginning of the season, was you under any pressure to sort of... Obviously, I know I live in Kent,
so... We're under massive pressure to get up there. The dividing line between success and failure at Margate this year is promotion.
Yeah.
It's not finishing third, it's not finishing fourth. Well, you could finish fifth as long as you win the playoff. So we'll be judged, and I'll quite rightly be judged, on getting promotion out of the Ryman League. And if we get promotion out of the Ryman League on the last day of the playoff by a lucky own goal, then I'll be a success. And if not, then this year will be deemed as a failure, because that was our target.
And of course, I mean, we've been talking about it on the show all season, and I know whenever you sort of talk about the Ryman Premier title, it's always been talks of yourself and mates, and you talk, you know, yourself and mates all the time whenever you speak to anybody. But now it just seems to be sort of like, you know, sort of like a noisy third team sort of sneaking in Hendon. You know, is it a case where maybe Hendon could sort of get in there and nick it at the end, with maybe yourself looking at Mason, Mason looking at you, and they could sneak in there at the end?
It's not fair, is it? It's just not fair that Gary can...
he's done a great job, Gal.
Gary has done a fantastic job, yeah. And he's a good friend of mine.
Yeah, I like Gal.
He plays football. He never whinges about how many injuries he's got. Yep. He's got a group of boys there that if I was to set out, how many of them players would I have? I wouldn't take all 11, would I? I'd take a couple, maybe. But team spirit, and not just team spirit and camaraderie, they now play together 200 and 300 games. You know, the McLarens and the Kevin, Casey, they're the heart, they're all of their team. O'Leary, they've all been in there for yonks and yonks and yonks. They've got a brilliant goal scorer up front. The back four, they've had to change, but they've got good players in there that all know the system, and they're almost ticking by. I watched Met Police outpass them, outplay them on Monday, and they conjured up a win.
Mm.
I'm thinking, that's absolutely brilliant. They look leggy, they look tired, and I'm thinking they got Canvey on Wednesday. Canvey got nothing in the week. They go and beat Canvey last night.
Yeah, 1-0 and all.
So, you know, they're keeping the clean sheets, they're grinding out ugly wins. If you put them on a good pitch, they can play football with anybody, and they've got that desire and will for each other. And I know Freddie Hart, he's one of my boys who won the title with me at Hayes all them years ago, and he epitomises, alongside Gary, everything that's great about that club.
Yeah.
And that they're playing away from home every single week, no home, no bar take, no real revenue coming in, and I think they've done an absolutely wonderful job.
It's going to be a big game on the Thursday, the 9th of April, when they come to you then.
Yeah, I'm hoping they'll be absolutely knackered by
then. Listen, Terry, it's been fantastic having you on tonight, and we do wish you all the very, very best for the rest of the season, and hope, you know, you do get what you both of you deserve, Mason and yourself, and both get yourselves out of the Ryman Prem. But we do wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you very much.
And hopefully we might speak to you a bit closer to the end of the season, mate.
No problem. Cheers.
Thanks, Terry.
Good luck, Terry.
Thanks, mate. Bye-bye.
Bye, mate.
That was Terry Brown.